Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, we will continue our study, our foundation study of the gospel, and we're studying faith. Now, even putting 2 hours on the subject of faith cuts it short. There's just so many things that we need to understand about faith, but as you grow in the Word, hopefully you will, after you finish this series of basic introduction into the Word of God, under some pastor teacher somewhere that is teaching verse by verse, word by word, even though that is getting more difficult to find, but you will continue all through your Christian life be learning about faith. But you should understand the purpose of the prayer that we're about to do. It's not a ritualistic prayer. This prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting His Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to come to the Scriptures and to see Your plan, Your grace plan for us, Father. We pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things You would have each of us see individually. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We are in the midst of a two-part study on the subject of faith is the victory. And last hour, we noted 3 or 4 essential points that kind of highlight the whole study. What you believe affects your daily life. Secondly, the object of your faith is the power or the effectiveness of your faith. Is your faith the faith God is looking for? And then fourth, faith is passive, not active. Faith is not doing, but receiving what God does. And the basic understanding of faith is that we must have a childlike faith. A child doesn't analyze faith, doesn't analyze what is it. I just believe that. And that's the faith that God is looking for, that childlike faith. Then we studied several major points in this study. And we noted, first of all, what is faith? And we spent some time on what is faith. Then we looked at faith as an act of trust. And then faith is resting, relying, trusting in a member of the Godhead to perform in my behalf. Four, is it faith, not only that it is faith, but why faith? And that's very important. That way you'll always want to stay when someone tells you, well, the way you're filled with the Spirit is by doing something, or the way you live the Christian life is by doing something. You want to understand how fundamental faith is to our relationship and function with God. Then the fifth point we noted, the power of faith or the effectiveness of faith is always in the object of faith, never in how much faith you have. Then sixth, is your faith the faith God is looking for? In other words, a lot of people will say, I'm doing faith, but is it the faith that God is looking for? And then seven, we are saved by faith, and we are to live by faith. And that's where we left off last hour. And so this morning we resume with that point. And let's just start right in, even though we've already taken up a lot of things in this point. Let's just start in with Romans 1:17 again, which is exactly where we left off. Romans 1:17, for in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God, which is the great issue from our 10 questions in Job, being righteous before God is an issue for the unbeliever. It's also an issue for the believer. How am I righteous before God? It is revealed from faith. And we noted last week, this is salvation one, or eternal life salvation. To faith, this is what we call salvation two, or faith in the Christian life, being filled with the Holy Spirit and living our Christian life. As it is written, the righteous man shall, that's the believer, shall live by faith. We have a principle here that very few people in the world understand, that we're saved, imputed God's righteousness by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Take the whole world, and not many people believe or understand that, but even fewer all over the world understand that even though they're saved by faith, understand that we are delivered from the power of sin into the power of the Holy Spirit by faith alone in the Holy Spirit. Now, they have faith, Their faith is not the faith God is looking for, though. They have faith that if they do something, if they repent, if they confess, if they feel sorry, all these type of things. But the faith that God is looking for is a faith in a member of the Godhead. Out of faith we're saved. Out of faith the righteousness of God is imputed to us. Out of faith we live eternally in eternal life. Out of faith we have a righteousness, have a righteous life, experientially even as believers. When there is no faith by the unbeliever, there is no righteousness of God imputed to him. When there is no faith by the believer, there is no spiritual life. He is living in darkness. Therefore, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And again, this is why I gave you that essential point. What you believe affects your everyday life. How you believe you're filled with the Spirit, how you believe you live the Christian life, it's going to affect how you live each day. If you want to live your life for the Lord, that how you believe that you're going to affect your everyday decision. Here your Christian life is viewed as a journey. Walking by faith. The word walking there is you're viewing your life as a journey. We walk by faith in the unseen warfare, the unseeable. When you put your faith, put your confidence in your repentance, in your confession, in your inviting, in your making Him Lord, in your being moral, in your doing the law, in your walking according to the law, all of this is by sight. It's not by faith. Walking by sight is the way of the flesh. I want to see it. Walking by faith is the way of the Spirit. Sight is the way of the world. Faith is the way of God. Sight is, I want to see and know that I've done something other than just simply believe. The context of 2 Corinthians 5, 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight," helps to understand why faith. We are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and therefore it is in the realm of the heavenly kingdom that we're to walk. See, we live here on earth, things we can see, but our citizenship is in heaven. We can't see that, but it is in that realm that we are to live. Not walking by sight simply means that we are not to live according to the norms and standards of this world. But we are to live by the reality of our heavenly citizenship, our heavenly home. So walking by faith does not mean that something is not real. It simply means that we cannot see it with our physical eyes. That's all that means. But we can see this world we live in, but the world that we're to walk in is an invisible realm. Walking by sight is related to the temporal world. Walking by faith is related to the eternal world. And by walking by the unseen, by the eternal, gives the ability to see clearly. See clearly and understand clearly the things of this physical world, how they're temporal, how they're vanishing. If we walk by faith, we have the ability to see two worlds at one time. If you walk by faith, you can see two worlds at one time. If you walk by sight, you can only see one world at one time. But if you walk by faith, you can see two worlds, this physical world and the spiritual, eternal world. Think about this. You walk by sight. This is why so many Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression. We have a series called SAD. Stress, anxiety, depression, why you as a Christian do not need to suffer from it. But if you think about stress, anxiety, and depression or sad, these things come when we're occupied with the things of this world. We wish things were different. We see how terrible things are, and we become SAD about our lives. But people, if we walk by faith, there is joy, peace, inner comfort, related to the eternal. So when you feel yourself, sense yourself coming under stress, anxiety, and depression, that can be a red flag to you. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm living by sight. I'm walking by sight. And this is more real to me than the spiritual. I need to get back in the filling of the Holy Spirit so it can serve as a flag to you, see? That's the realm that we live in. A silly example that I like to use is when I was in the military. I was stationed in the 3rd Armored Division in Germany. So I am in Germany. But I didn't vote. I didn't get involved in all of the politics or things going on in Germany. I was an American citizen. But I lived in Germany. But I didn't live as a German. So this is the way we are here, people. We, our citizenship really is in heaven. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. The steadfast mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace. So it starts with you. The steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. What does a steadfast mind mean? It means to keep your mind set on him. It means to trust him, not details of life. And then verse 4, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. There's our foundation. Faith in him is the way of peace. Not as the world gives peace. See, the world gives peace by circumstances. God gives peace by our faith in him. The world gives peace based on the circumstances, but the peace that comes from faith is not dependent on the circumstances of this world. Take up a few little concepts here. Our flesh nature is opposed to grace. Our flesh nature is opposed to faith. It's opposed to it. That's why we don't like just faith alone, just grace alone. We want to do something. It's more befitting to our flesh nature. See? Grace and faith are God's way. We're saved by it. We live by it. So faith is so vital to our Christian way of life. We walk, we live by faith, not by sight. Another example of walking by faith, living by faith, if you believe that you are saved by something you do, then you will live thinking that you have to do something for your to keep your salvation, to live the Christian life. But if you've got it down firmly, I am saved by grace through faith, then that's how you're going to live your whole life before God and understand. Therefore, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, 6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, you've heard me say over and over that you're not saved by making him Lord. That's called lordship salvation. It's evil. But people, he is Lord. You don't make him Lord. He is Lord. And the more you live by faith, and the more the Holy Spirit guides you to grow in the study of his word, get under some pastor, teacher who studies and teaches the word of God verse by verse, and the more you do this, the more he will become. The more you will see him as Lord of your life. But you don't make him Lord. He is Lord. Now, by faith in what the Bible tells us is the reality, in spite of sight. And therefore, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, 3. By faith. We understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So if we walk by sight, you walk by sight, it demands evolution. But to walk by faith, you can see that God is the creator of all things. He is the creator of this world. He is the creator of this marvelous structure of our bodies, all of the intricacies of this human body. Everything is made by him that we might walk by faith in this life. So, and then finally, you might understand, faith is the victory in the spiritual warfare. Faith is the victory in the spiritual warfare. Not sight, not being moral, not living by the law, not being good, not even learning scripture. Faith is the victory in the spiritual warfare. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Question, how are we born of God? By faith alone in Christ alone. This is called the second birth. It's called regeneration. These are things that we've not studied, but you will learn these things. Faith alone gives victory over this world. See, we can walk by sight in this world. What gives victory over this world is walking by faith. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. That overcomes the world. It's unfortunate. How many believers are themselves overcome by the world? See, this says that we overcome the world. But it's amazing how many believers, and it's sad, how many believers instead are overcome by the world. The things of the world overcome them. Stress, anxiety, depression are things of this world distract to walking by faith in the Spirit, to gain things of the temporal world instead of laying hold of those things that are eternal. To enjoy the things of this world rather than walk by faith. It is so easy to be distracted by the things we see of this world, and the world therefore begins to have victory over us. So if you want to be victorious in this world, you want to live by faith. Faith, remember, it's the object of faith. What was our faith? Live by faith in the Holy Spirit. Live by faith in trusting God. And every one of you who have believed in Jesus Christ can overcome this world. You can overcome sin. You can overcome this world. You can overcome. You can actually overcome stress, anxiety, and depression. Not with pills. Not with booze. Not with just baking a chocolate cake and eating the whole thing. But walking simply by faith in the Holy Spirit. Living your life by faith. And every one of you can go be victors over this world. Every one of you who have believed in Jesus Christ can overcome the world because you're born from God. You walk by faith, seeing the invisible realm of reality. These things are more real and more important than the things of this world. Things of this world are transient, worthless, vanity. Things that we walk by in faith are eternal. How did you first overcome the world? Well, look at verse 5 of 1 John 5. And who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So how did you first overcome the world? By faith. How are you going to live your life and overcome the world? By faith. This sets the pattern. Your salvation one sets the pattern. Your eternal life salvation sets the pattern as how you will overcome the world as a believer. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And there sets the pattern of overcoming the world as a born-again believer. While we are said to overcome the world, it's God's victory, not ours. Do not try to take credit for what God does. Again, our faith allows God to work in us that we become victors over the world, victorious over the world. One final note on faith and living the Christian life. Most believers want to talk about how wonderful they are, how moral, how religious, how they abide by the law, even how much they know of the Bible, how much they do and do and do. But to Paul, one of the most wonderful things that can be said of a believer is about how they walk by faith. Maybe one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible is Romans 1:8 in regard to the reputation of a believer. Where in Romans 1:8 Paul says, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world." That's beautiful. What do you want people to say about you? Oh, they're very moral. or they know a lot of Bible doctrine, or they do a lot of wonderful things, or they obey the law, they do this, they do that, or a person walks by faith. That person trusts God regardless of the circumstances of their life. People, you've got to understand that angels are watching you. People are watching you as you live your Christian life. What do they see? How did the gospel get spread in the early world? Very simple. Those Romans, those Christians, which is a word, it's a derogatory term, Christian. We wear it as a badge of honor, but it really is a derogatory term in its origin. It means little Christ. Those Christians, they believe that God, the only true God, sent His Son to die on a cross, bearing the judgment and sins of the world. Those Christians in Rome believe that you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. They have great faith. They just, that's how they live. See? That's how the gospel gets spread, not the law. Oh, those people live by the law. Do and do, do and do. Those people live by faith in the ones sent by God. So what do you want people to proclaim about you? What do you want people to claim about, to say about you? These Christians in Rome actually lived in Jesus Christ. Believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life. They actually believed in the filling of the Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. They actually lived and walked by faith. How wonderful is this? Well, we have to move on to point eight. Point eight, faith and obedience. Obedience is another one of those key words. And a lot of preachers and Christians use, talk about obedience. And when most of them talk about obedience, they mean obey the commands, do and do, do and do, the Ten Commandments, the rules and the laws and all of this. Now we have to ask ourselves, what is the obedience that God is looking for? What's the obedience He's looking for? Not the obedience that I think He's looking for, but the obedience that He's looking for. And it's just one of those words that you're going to hear over and over as you continue in your Christian life. And preachers and people will use this word. But what they teach is about obedience is obedience in doing things, not the obedience that God is looking for. Most of the people that use the word obedience are talking about do and do, do and do. People, the obedience that God is looking for is the obedience that is faith. The obedience that is faith. And so that we clearly see this, I like to look at the book of Romans as a sandwich. A piece of bread on the top, a piece of bread on the bottom, and all of the meat and good stuff in between. But let's take a look at that top piece of bread and that bottom piece of bread. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Romans 1, 5, it's in the sentence. But it's the first sentence in the book. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all Gentiles for His name's sake. The obedience of faith, or the obedience that is faith. Now, then you have the book of Romans. Then you go to Romans 16, the last chapter and the last sentence in the book, verse 26. But now is manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, the Old Testament, according to the commandment of the eternal God, who has made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. The obedience that is faith. So the word obedience and obey goes all the way back to our study in Isaiah 28. Where, when we looked at the scriptures, some people will see do and do, do and do. Others will look at scripture and see the obedience that God is looking for is to rest of faith, the R-E-S-T of faith, just resting in what God has provided. So we spent some time there. Now, as the obedience that God is looking for, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 8, obedience that God is looking for is the obedience of faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now, how do you obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus? By faith alone. Faith is the obedience that the gospel calls for. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son, that is Jesus Christ, has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Okay, do you see this? Faith and obey are synonymous terms here. How do we obey the Son in a way that results in eternal life? By faith alone. So he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son, and obeying the Son, is to believe in him. We are to see that the obedience that God is looking for is the obedience that is faith. Three closing principles on this. One, your view of God is either that he is a God that you have to do something for, perform for, or that he is a God that all you have to do is trust him. Secondly, the gospel of God calls for faith alone. And this is true of the gospel for the unbeliever, the gospel for the believer. We've spent one entire lesson on how the gospel is for the unbeliever. We spent one lesson on how the gospel is for the born-again believer. And the gospel, in the gospel, the obedience that God is calling for is the obedience of faith. And then three, throughout the whole Bible, the gospel flow, we spent a class on the gospel flow of the Bible, calls for the obedience that is faith. Okay, now we have to move to point nine. Point nine, the issue of faith is always the object of faith, the substance of faith. Now, this is very important. I'm sorry it's lost way down in point nine, but every one of these points on this two-part study are so essential. But here's the main thing you want to understand. Faith has no power in itself. There's no power in faith. Faith has no merit. Faith has no merit, no power. The merit and the power of faith is always in the object of faith. And it is so important that we understand that there's no power, no merit in faith. We are not saved by faith. We're saved by the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we receive His work by faith in Jesus Christ. This is why it does not matter if you have a whole lot of faith, as it were, or a little bitty bit amount of faith, tiniest amount of faith. Faith does not do the work. God does the work. Now, let me just give you a contrast, something we'll be studying later. Love. See, love, there's power in love. Love is a force. We'll be studying this eventually. Probably the next hour we'll take up the study of love. Love is a force and has power. This is why we're not saved by love. We're not saved by loving God. We're not saved by loving Christ. Saved by trusting Jesus Christ. No one is saved by loving Christ or restored from sin by loving God, the Holy Spirit. We're saved by the person and work of Jesus Christ. We're restored from sin by the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. People, your faith doesn't accomplish anything. It's the object of your faith. That is so important. Don't get the idea that, boy, I'm saved because I have faith and I did something. No. Faith is a way of receiving what God has done. All the merit of faith is in the object of faith. Can what you're trusting perform what you're trusting in it to perform? That's the great issue here. Can what you're trusting perform in what you're trusting it to perform? You can have all the faith in the world in Jesus Christ, but if he is not raised from the dead, it's worthless. is why it's so difficult, but it's true. Take all the people of the world, all the religions of the world, even the Judaism, the Muslim religion, Mormon religion, Buddhist religion, Hindus, on and on and on. They all have tremendous faith. The object of their faith cannot deliver. The object of their faith cannot save. See, this is why you have to understand that the object and the power and the merit of faith is in the object, not in faith itself, not in the substance of faith. It's so important. This helps you understand why faith. Not that it is, not that just that it is by faith, but why faith? Why are not all of these people who have tremendous faith, live wonderful lives, all this thing, do not have the life of God, do not have eternal life? It's the object of their faith. God has provided everything necessary for our salvation and our spirituality. Okay, we now move to point 10. Faith is passive, not active. Now, I have to put this in because to me this is very important. Well, I don't understand what faith is. I don't understand why it's not a work. I don't understand all of this. Well, this may help you a little bit. This will help some of you. Maybe not all of you. Hopefully it won't confuse you. But it may help some of you to grasp this. You have active verbs that you learn in school, passive verbs. Faith is a passive verb. It's another way of looking at the reason why faith is the great issue in the spiritual warfare. Faith is passive, not active. That is, faith is the means of receiving from God, not doing for God. This is very important. By faith we receive from God. We're not doing something for God. This goes to that helpless, hopeless condition that we are in, that man is in, that we can do nothing to receive from God. We cannot perform for God. God has done all the performance. God has done all the work. God has provided all that is necessary for salvation, spirituality, blessings in life, a peace and mental attitude of peace regardless of circumstances of your life. God has done everything for us. Now, how can I receive what God has done? How can I receive what God has provided? He tells us, by faith in the one that He sent. It's so important because we have just seen that faith is a conscious act. And by that, someone may conclude that since it's a conscious act, that this means that faith is a works. Since we do something, then faith is a work. Therefore, we're saved by the works, and we're filled with the Spirit by works. On the other, and we spent time on the John 6 passage where Christ said the only work required by God is that we believe in the one that He has sent. So you've got that also on this understanding. See? But what we have to do is that what we have to understand is here is for those who desire to see work, faith as a work, Jesus Christ said in John 6, it is the only work required by God. But that we also understand that faith is not of works is in so many passages. And this is straightened out, this issue, is faith a work or not a work? To me, is really straightened out by not understanding, by understanding why it is not by faith that we're saved. Faith is passive, not active. See, you invite Jesus into your heart, that's an active verb. I invited Jesus into my heart. First of all, that's nowhere taught in the Bible. Nowhere does it say, invite Jesus into your heart and you'll be saved. But it catches on, it's a great catch on, because why? Our flesh wants to do something. I make Him Lord. That's an active verb. That's why it's caught on. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, make Him Lord. Believe in Him as Jesus Christ, your Savior. See? But why do these things catch on if they're not biblical? Because the flesh wants to act. The flesh wants a active verb. Wants to do something, to earn something from God. So, but if we understand, faith is passive. Faith we receive from God. When you trust God, when you have walked by faith, we receive from God, not do something, and then He rewards us, pays us for our works. Faith is not a works. We spend time on that. When one believes in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father then responds to the faith. But when we do something in the active verb, then God owes us. So it's not on a basis of grace. That's why faith is the only thing compatible with grace. We're saved by the person and work of Jesus Christ, by the person and work of the Holy Spirit. What God has already done. See? Now, can faith be at work? Yes. When the object of your faith is your faith, you've made faith a work. Oh, I believe that if I do this or that, I believe if you have more faith, then God will respond. Your problem, why you're not getting well, you don't have enough faith. You've just made faith the works. Got to have more faith. Anytime people tell you need more of something to get something from God, that ought to be a red flag. Wait a minute, that's works. That's me doing something for God. See, you have to have enough faith, more faith. If you do not have enough faith, then God cannot save you or bless you or get you through a crisis like cancer or illness or death or divorce or financial ruin. See? When you have to have more of something or do enough of something, that's works. You have to pray more. You have to pray enough. You have to witness a certain number of people. You have to do all of these things to get something from God. No, that makes faith a work, people. Faith is not a works. It's saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We receive being held up. That chair example we used last week, we receive being held up by the chair, not because we have a lot of faith or little faith or whatever. The chair can either hold you up or not. It doesn't depend on how much faith you have. You can have all the faith in the world, and if it's an artificial chair made out of paper, you're going to fall flat on you know what. It can't perform. It doesn't matter how much faith. Can the object of your faith perform? Faith is passive. It receives from God. By means of faith, we receive salvation. By means of faith, we receive recovery from sin, restored to the light, to the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not saved by inviting Jesus into your heart. It's an active verb. Nowhere taught in the Scriptures. You're not saved by making Him Lord. That's an active verb. You're not saved or filled with the Spirit by confession or repentance. Those are active verbs. I confessed. I repented. Not saved by some ritual. That's action. Active. You're doing it. Saved by faith alone in the one whom God has sent. We receive the work that God has accomplished in our behalf. Man does not earn nor deserve anything from God. Nor can you earn. You can't earn anything. You don't deserve anything. You can't earn anything from God. We receive from God through grace by means of faith, which is always compatible with grace. Only faith is compatible with grace. For salvation, one, eternal life salvation, spiritual recovery salvation, or living the Christian life. In fact, I think, I don't have it on here, but Romans 14:23. Whatever is not of faith is sin. That's why I have to spend these two lessons on faith, because people, this is so vital to our lives. Now that brings us to point 11. Point 11. Does faith need to be enlarged? Does faith need to be enlarged? God's standard of measurement of faith is a grain of mustard seed. In other words, the tiniest bit of faith, mustard seed was the smallest measurement that the common person had at the time of the New Testament. And the tiniest amount of faith, just a little faith, is all that God is looking for. the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Look in your Bibles at Matthew 17, verse 20. Matthew 17, verse 20. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Now the mustard seed again is the smallest unit of measurement to the ordinary man at this time. And this is all the faith that God is looking for. And again, this is the pattern for your faith for salvation, spiritual recovery from sin, Christian way of life. Faith as a mustard seed. Any one time somebody tells you you need more faith, they turn faith into a works. They have a false view of God, by the way. But what amount those passages that seem to call for, what about those passages that seem to call about more faith or increased faith? This is a far too large a subject for us to handle here. We have it in a series called The Crisis of Faith, where I looked at every one of these passages in the Bible where it seems to talk about large amounts of faith. But let me just jump to a crucial one that seems to say that. Let's see what's actually being said here. This is your life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren. And people, you want to learn to pray as you grow in the Christian life? Pray for one another. Yeah, you can pray for people that are not walking in the Lord, people that are unbelievers, people that are not going to church. But you really want to, Paul stresses spending your time praying for those that are in the war, those that are in the battle, those that are trying to walk by faith, trying to grow in the Word. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Wow. Does it say that faith is enlarged? Greatly enlarged. Not just enlarged, greatly enlarged. Now, well, on the one hand, it seems to be saying that the faith itself is enlarged. But if we look closely at what's going on here, we'll find exactly what's happening in our lives. Now, what I like to do is I'd like you to take, just for a simple analogy, take the five fingers, we'll conclude the thumb is a finger, take the five fingers of one hand, and let's say those are the five areas of your life. Five areas of your life. God wants you to trust Him in all five areas of your life. I've heard so many stories where people got to know some believer very well and soon discovered some area in your life, in their life, that didn't live up to what they thought it should. And are very quick to judge. Oh, well, they're just hypocrites in these other areas of their life. No, they're not. No, they're not. They haven't learned to trust God in all areas of their life. They simply have not learned to trust Him in that area of their lives. Now, we just take five areas of your life. Let's say financial is one area. Your marriage is an area. Your work is an area of your life. And your health is an area of your life. So we have all these areas of your life. See? Now, let's say that it's a winter night, cold, dark, stormy, and someone knocks on your door. And they say, I'm hungry. Do you have something to eat? And this year you say to them, I have only a half a can of Campbell's soup. That's all I got left. Otherwise, I would share it with you. But that's all I got. God gave me that. That's all I got. And you shut the door and they walk away. Here's my question. Did they see the love of Christ? No, they did not. Why did they not see the love of Christ? Because you've not learned to trust Him in that area of your life. That same person comes back the next year. He forgot that you didn't share with him. So he knocks on your door again. Stormy night. And he says, I'm hungry. Do you have anything that you can give me? And you say, listen, all I have is a half a can of Campbell's soup. But you're welcome to it. Please come in. And you heat up the second, your half can of Campbell's soup, or any kind of soup, mom's soup, whatever. You heat it up, and you share it with them. And they leave. Did they see the love of Christ? Yes, they did. What happened from last year to this year? You learned to trust Christ in that area of your life. So look at our passage. Look at our passage. We ought always to give thanks to God, brethren, as it is only befitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged in areas of your life, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. In the areas of your life, people, go back to the hand picture. It'll take all five fingers of your life. And last year you didn't trust Him in some area. This year you trust Him. Your love demonstrated to others will grow unbelievably, grow greatly. See? Christian man goes to church, walks by faith in the Spirit, growing in the Word, learns to trust God financially, but he can't trust his wife. He wants to control her. Just got to control her, know where she is every minute. All this type of thing. And you learn that. And you say, ooh, man, he doesn't really walk by faith. I thought he was a good Christian. Look at the way he's doing that. No, you're seeing an area he's not learned to trust the Lord. Now, I don't know if he can do it in a year, but in a time, a couple of years later, you're back in with him, and he's entirely different. Complete trust. Not in her, but in the Lord. It affects his marriage. Your love toward one another grows greatly. See, the more areas of your life, dear believer, where you learn to trust him with that tiniest amount of faith, not more faith, the tiniest amount of faith, the love of Christ will be seen greatly in one another. So, it doesn't matter. It does not matter the circumstances of your life. It does not matter that the more difficult circumstances in your life requires, not a matter that this requires more faith. It is simply that the more difficult, it is more difficult to trust Him even with the tiniest amount of faith, which is all God is looking for. So when you, let's say you have cancer, you realize you have cancer, or financial loss, which is happening to a lot of people in our society today, or a death of someone you love, or whatever it may be, it's not a matter, oh, I've got to come up with a whole lot of faith here. It's not a matter of that. It's just that it's more difficult to trust Him. That's right. Not as difficult to trust Him for our eternal life salvation, is it? Believe in Jesus Christ, saved. But now I got cancer. Now someone I love died. Now I've just lost all my finances. Now it's going to be tougher. You don't need to come up with a whole lot of faith. God isn't looking for a whole lot more faith now. He's still looking for the truckload of faith. Or he said the tiniest bit of faith. That's all he's looking for. And see, we want to thank God for that. I love some of the Psalms by David. One of them, he even talks about how the internals of his stomach are dragging on the ground. I always think of David as the first country and western songwriter. I mean, boy, he can get graphic. See? And when life gets that bad, that difficult, all God is asking, will you trust me with just a little bit of faith? I saved you eternally. I can turn all things together for good in your life if you love me. I can make this make you a stronger believer. I'm not going to get rid of it necessarily. He doesn't promise that. But I'll give you peace in your soul for just the tiniest amount of faith. So people, this is the great issue in our lives. To say that God is looking for more faith makes faith a works. So it's not a great amount of faith that he's looking for. He's looking for that smallest amount of faith. It's not a diagram where the larger the hurt requires greater amount of faith. It's not that kind of a diagram. Have a major task, a major circumstance in your life, and it takes a major amount of faith. No. God's diagram is very simple. Here is a major catastrophe in your life. I still am just looking for a tiniest amount of faith. Will you just trust me? The larger your hurt in life, God is still looking for just a small amount of faith. See? And people, sometimes it's all we can muster. I thank God. This has been through my lifetime. There have been times in my life, thank you, God, that you're not looking for a truckload of faith. Because all I can come up with is a tiniest bit of faith. Things are so difficult. And God said, that's all I'm looking for. I can work miracles with the tiniest bit of faith. I can move a mountain with the tiniest amount of faith. Don't try to give me a whole lot of faith. Just trust me. So the question arises, how do we enlarge our faith in all areas of our lives? That's the question that comes up now. How do we enlarge our faith in all areas of our lives? Okay, let's look at Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Luke 17, 5. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Very human thing to ask for. Now look at verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had the faith like a mustard seed, you would have said to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What is the Lord saying here? He is saying that it is not the size of your faith. It is the mere existence of your faith. That's what Christ is saying here. So how do I increase the mere existence of faith in more difficult circumstances and times in my life? How do I do this? How do I trust Him with just that grain of mustard seed when things are very rough in my Christian life? Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Romans 10, verse 16. However, they did not all heed or obey the glad tidings, that's the good news, the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Obey, there is to believe. So you can see here that the obedience that God is looking for is the obedience of faith. Now verse 17. So, introducing a principle of prayer, of faith, excuse me, introduces a principle of faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You will note that the verb comes is in italics and does not appear in the original text. It doesn't occur there. So let's just see if we can understand what he is saying to us. Faith comes. Faith is expressed. Faith is realized out from hearing the word of Christ. So if you desire to increase the use of faith, regardless of the circumstances in your life, regardless of what's going on in your life, in areas of your life that are under testing, you will want to grow in the knowledge and belief of the Word of God. Growing in the knowledge of the Word of God in the Bible is paramount to your life. As you learn to walk by faith in the Spirit, one of the things you will notice He will do, He will give you a love and a desire to study the Word of God. It's one of those flags. If you don't desire to study the Word of God, you don't desire to grow in the Word of God, am I walking by faith in the Spirit or not? It's one of those little flags that can go up. And as you learn to walk by faith in the Spirit, one of the things He will notice, He will lead you to the study of the Word of God. He is the Spirit of truth, called so by Jesus Christ. He will teach you, guide you, illuminate for you the truth of Scripture. So by all means, you'll want to find a church where the pastor teacher believes this book is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and then teaches it verse by verse, word by word, under the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the more you learn of Scripture, the more you learn of God, the more you learn of Christ, the more you learn of the Holy Spirit, the more you'll have the ability to trust Him in the difficult things of life, even with a grain of mustard seed of faith. That's all the time we can spend on that very important point. Maybe you'll need to go over that point a couple of times. Let's go to point 12. Jesus Christ is the pattern of our faith. Jesus Christ Himself is the pattern of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, the last part of verse 1, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay, here your life is seen as a race. Let us run with endurance. That means walking by faith day in and day out, regardless of difficult circumstances, regardless of personal challenges, regardless of all these things, endurance. The race. And what is the race that is set before us? Walking by faith. Now, how do we do this? Look at the next part, look at verse 2 now. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. See, keeping your eyes focused on Him, not on this world, but on Him, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. See, He knew what was coming ahead. And people, so do we, don't we? We know what happens the moment we die. We're face to face with the Lord. We know about eternity. We know that we'll be with the Lord forever and ever. It's a joy that is set before us, so we walk by faith in this time. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It'll be our privilege. And finally, point 13. Faith is the means whereby we receive and are benefited by what only God can do. Therefore, faith glorifies God. We ended our study with grace. Our grace glorifies God. Faith glorifies God. Not your works, people. Your works, your doing, your inviting, you're making Him Lord, you're being moral, you're learning. All of these things do not glorify Him. It's what we do by faith that glorifies God. So, let's take a quick look. What is faith? Faith is an act of trust. Faith is resting, relying, trusting in a member of the Godhead to perform in our behalf. It is by faith, but why is it by faith? The power of faith or the effectiveness of faith is always in the object of faith, never how much faith you have. 6, is your faith the faith God is looking for? Is your faith simply in a member of the Godhead? 7, we are saved by faith. We are to live by faith. 8, We looked at faith and obedience. The only obedience that God is looking for is the obedience that is faith. 9, the substance of faith is the object of faith. That's the real subject of faith. Not how much faith you have, but in what do you have that faith. 10, faith is passive, not active. 11, it is faith that needs to be, is it faith that needs to be enlarged? And we've seen that that means enlarged in areas of your life. Not like it's more faith than a tiny grain of mustard seed, but in every area of your life. Are you trusting Him? Do you trust Him? Oh, you trust Him over here, and you trust Him over there, but do you trust Him with your money? Do you trust Him financially? Do you trust Him with your health? Do you trust Him in all areas of your life? Do you trust Him? That's the enlarging of faith. And 12, Jesus Christ is our pattern of faith. And 13, faith glorifies God. We'll resume our study next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. Well, Father, given us a great deal to think about, pray about, examine these scriptures, go over these scriptures, look at other scriptures. Something we'll be doing the rest of our lives. Learning about your grace. Learning about faith. Learning about your Son, your Spirit, and you. And all of these from your Word. Father, we pray you'll take these things now, make them real in the soul of those who listen, to believe the things we're seeing here, learn to walk by faith. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.